Halloween's fun for the kids.
Trick or treat!
But if you want real monsters, then look no further. 55 KRC, the talk station.
It's 7:06. Happy Friday to you. Brian Thomas right here, and glad to have on the phone, returning to the 55 KRC Morning Show, to talk about the current status of the House Bill 435, which you heard at the top of the hour news. Looks like it's dead on arrival. Welcome back to the program, Representative Jennifer Gross. Always good talking to you.
Good talking to you, Brian. Good morning.
As I understand it, House Bill 435 would allow religious, medical, or natural immunity exemptions to all COVID-19 vaccine mandates, with the exception of hospitals and intensive care units. So I have absolutely no problem with that. I guess I'm just wondering what the holdup is and why they won't even allow this to come out of committee and have a vote on it. Jennifer, can you give us an update, please?
Well, Brian, there are about three big issues with it. First of all, it does leave 40,000 healthcare workers on the battlefield. So it would not provide any exemptions for them. Remember that they were our frontline workers. Many of them already had COVID, and they aren't offered the natural exemption immunity. So they don't get that. Secondly, there were no passports spoken about in there. So if you wanted to go to a concert, a ball game, the grocery store, and they decide to make you have a passport and prove vaccination status, you would have to show, you could, I wouldn't say that they would do that, but you could be required to show a vaccine passport. However, if you needed to pay your license fees or whatever at the BMV, you would not need a passport. So you would not need a passport to pay your taxes and do all those things to the state and all that. So there, you know, we're going to get your money, but you can't go get your groceries. And then the third one is discrimination. And this one was a big issue to many members. And that is that if you didn't have a vaccine, then your child or you could be pushed over into a room. You could be isolated in an environment where you could be treated differently. And in schools, that's already happening in some schools where children don't mask. They're put in the back of the room, for instance, or made to get to the back of the line. Well, and because there was no, we didn't have a problem with the adults. You know, adults can make their decisions. But children in school and things like that, it was different. So those three things were major issues to the bill.
Okay, so it was wanting for extra protections that it got shot down, not because it protected people from the types of things you're referring to. I mean, because the general nature of religious, medical, or natural immunity allowing for those things, I think, are embraced by most sane-thinking people. You're just telling me that it didn't go quite far enough.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
That's fair. Now, but let me ask you this, because one of my listeners reminded me of this one this morning, and I had seen it before. I just forgot what it was. It's the pursuant to the House Bill 244, finally kicked in 2 days ago, October 13th effective day, which is ORC 379204, which prohibits the type of discrimination you're talking about already if, with regard to Food and Drug Administration's emergency approval vaccine. So if a vaccine hasn't been granted full approval, then no school, college, that's state-related, higher institutions, education, et cetera, can discriminate against you or require you to take a vaccine as a condition of showing up. So at least that applies right now.
And that is for schools.
For schools, right.
But that was if it was only EUA,
right,
emergency use authorization. And since there is discussion, there have been Louisiana legislators and some others who have signed a letter saying that it actually was not FDA approved. But the general consensus is that the Pfizer vaccine has been FDA approved.
How can that be a consensus without a formal authorization from the FDA? That's like,
I die.
That is,
I see, you know, there's an assumption a lot of times through the government, you know, I mean, people and then employers and people just assume. which is all often dangerous, as you know.
Well, that's when they call, like, governor edicts, when people say, well, it's the law. And you think, mm-hmm. no, that is an executive order, and it has yet to be tested. And parenthetically, the governor doesn't have the ability to just arbitrarily tell you what to do. I mean, people just, they've been playing fast and loose with this for the last year and a half.
That's right. That's right. So it's been challenging. I want you to know, though, my discharge still exists for HB 248 in the clerk's office, and the discharge of 248 would cover every Ohioan. I already had natural immunity in there, and so everything is covered with 248. What you probably don't know, yesterday the health committee was called, emailed and told that we were going to have, well, I'm not on health committee anymore, but we were told that there would be a health committee meeting and HB 248 would get a seventh hearing. That happened about noon yesterday, and then my phone was blowing up from reporters I didn't know about. I was driving back from Columbus, and then I spoke to a reporter, and then at 6:30 last night, the speaker sent out a letter that said, you will cease and desist, and you will cancel the health committee meeting on October 19th. There were three other bills on the docket, but I suspect that it was because 248 was placed on the agenda for a seventh hearing. It was going to get a possible amendment or amendments and a possible vote out of health committee.
What's wrong with that?
I don't know. It's the Days of Our Lives Ohio House version.
But you guys are, I mean, the last time I checked, the Republican Party runs the House and the Senate and has the governor's office in Columbus. So this is all dissension within the Republican Party. I mean, what is the problem with the vote? This is what really irks me. Obviously, there's enough folks in the committee that you've looked at it, you've made amendments. Maybe it's not the most perfect piece of legislation on the planet, but the committee's done with it. Bring it out. Let the record reflect where people stand on this. Who among your Republican side of the fence colleagues are against that one, and what are the reasons for it? Why won't they let it out?
I'm not going to name names on the radio, Brian.
Bill Seitz?
I will tell you. What?
Bill Seitz? I can name names.
I'm going to let Bill answer for himself, but I'm sort of on, he's been on the hot seat, you know. 435 was killed in caucus. So there were a large majority of us with the three reasons that I told you. Me being, I am a combat veteran. I did my small part as a flight nurse. I personally do not want to leave, and nor will I leave healthcare providers on the battlefield. And when our healthcare providers have been required to work with COVID symptoms in the hospitals mm-hmm. and told as long as you didn't have a fever, you need to come to work, all during COVID, didn't leave us when we thought we were going to have a million dead Ohioans. And then all of a sudden, they have to lose their job if they don't get the jab, even though they may have natural immunity, they may have religious, you know, exemptions,
right.
Those types of things. I feel that everybody ought to be covered.
Well, I agree with you, but I want to know where the disagreement comes from, because you make that argument, and it sounds fine to me, but you got somebody on the same side of the political ledger as you, and I know there are differences within parties, but you're talking to a fellow Republican who shall not be named by name. Their response to that is no, because why?
Goes too far. HB 248 is a bridge too far. You hear typical things like the bill sponsor won't work with anybody.
What does that mean? it goes too far mean? Goes too far in what respect? Those are sound bites, Jennifer. No, those are sound bites. That's like saying, well, if you elect me, I'm going to bring the resources together and work with community activists and achieve the objectives. Well, what? What the hell is that? Tell me why they object to your proposal. I want to know why.
Okay, 248, if you recall, it required the schools to tell parents that they could exempt their children. Because right now, schools send out a letter, some, not all, but some send out a letter that says your child must have all vaccines or they cannot attend school. That has been false since the 1970s.
Right.
But, and they leave it there. Stop. Dead stop. But I wanted them to say, however, in the same size font, the bill specifically brings that out, your children may have one of these exemptions if you so choose. And everybody, including some local hospitals, said, you're going to make the world unsafe. And then
No. See, no, that's wrong. It is the state of the law as it currently exists.
Right.
They wish the law was something else. What you are doing is providing a complete, accurate picture of the reality of the law.
Yes, that's exactly right. And to me, when you only tell a partial truth, you're telling a lie. So I wanted, it was happening, it's happening all over the state. I wanted that in there. I would be willing to take out that whole section. I'd even be willing to change the bill to COVID only. And that's the second thing, Brian, and that is that the bill covers all vaccines. You don't want to get a hepatitis B. You don't want to get a hepatitis A. You don't want to get a flu shot. You don't have to. The bill covered everything. Healthcare workers have been required to get the flu shot since 2013. And there are some that didn't want to. I didn't really care because I always got it.
Yeah.
And now I realize why it's important to fight for all people's freedom, because now we're pushed over into this line of COVID. If we changed my bill to COVID only, I was willing to do that. If we took out the children exemption part, which would be sad, I would do that. The bill itself, honestly, Brian, all it did was take those exemptions we give children and have given children since the 1970s, pulled it all the way through our society in everywhere, every arena, and gave it to adults in the workplace and the government and everything. With the addition of no passports, it's less than 4 pages long. Read it as introduced. Now, when it became a sub-bill, it became 16 pages because I had to take out the AG. It has a prevailing clause, which is illegal. And so you'll hear the third thing is you hear people say it's unconstitutional. Well, you can't say that a bill, you know this, Brian, you can't, I should have taken this out before I dropped it. But anyway, you can't say that this bill will prevail till the end of time. You can't say that this will be a law for all eternity, right? You have a prevailing clause that says that nothing will ever supersede this bill, right?
Right.
So that has to go out. It's like two lines. It has to be scratched. Could easily be scratched on the floor. Change it to COVID only. Give exemptions to everybody. 3.5 pages. Boom. Done. And no discrimination, by the way. So,
if that was done, or if it was introduced as you currently described it, this sort of the revisions that have been, that pare it down, or the concessions that are made to appease those complaints that are raised, would there still be objections to it? Would Bill Sykes still say, well, okay, why?
Because we've got some really, 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 if you want to call them moderate, I mean, we've got one that told me once they wanted vaccines, everyone to have to get the COVID vaccine to go to school or go to work in Ohio, and she's a Republican. So, I mean,
yeah, well, this transcends
politics. Yeah, you've got an extreme. But if we could get 50, it's my belief, honestly, Brian, we can't control the Senate, but as a House member, remember, we are the people's House, and it's our job to represent the majority of the people. So in my particular box, my inbox, I have a large, large majority people that want vaccine freedom and vaccine choice. And again, I'm not an anti-vaxxer, but to me, it's not about vaccines. It's not even about medical freedom. It's about freedom.
I'm with you on that. I'm with you. I'm not anti-vax either. I'm just, I just can't deal with the idea of a government being able to micromanage such important individual medical decisions.
Well, and Brian, that's the last thing. When you talk about micromanage and using government, some of the people in the caucus say that if we make a law like this, we're infringing on the individual freedom of business. And so that's a big issue. But you know, it's we've crossed a line when it's a medical treatment. These aren't steel-toe boots. This isn't a hard hat. This is something that you can't remove from your body that clearly has risk. And it's a risk that if you believe the VAERS report, we call it VAERS. You know, we believe, if you believe the VAERS report set up by the FDA and the CDC, there have been over 15,000 deaths, unfortunately, from the vaccine. Those need to be vetted But you can't you can't just turn your back and say they don't exist. They must be addressed, and that's what a lot of people are very upset about. Every healthcare provider who has an adverse event related to these and any vaccine is required or should be. They are required by law. I will tell you that as a clinician, I didn't even know about the VAERS report. So how would I know to submit that a person died of a heart attack 2 days after they got the vaccine when they have no cardiac history?
Exactly.
How would I know to report it? Because I don't know it exists.
Yeah, and there are those that may not want you to report it. Jennifer Gross, Representative Gross, thank you so much for the time you spent in explaining all this to my listeners and me and the current status of affairs. I will look forward to having you on the program again, probably discuss the same kind of thing. But if there are other issues, you're welcome with that one as well. Jennifer, have a great weekend,
Brian.
And best of health to you and your family.
Thank you. You as well. Have a great day.
Thanks. 721 right now. 55.